He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice, my dear. What's going on? Where are you? What's happening?
I'm in Vancouver. Actually, I'm in Burnaby, which is just outside Vancouver. And what do you mean it's good to hear my voice? We talk every single day. Actually, we talk more that I'm in Canada and then you're in the U.S. because we're Skyping all the time. We email all the time. We do the chat line all the time. So, yeah, it's like we're never even left.
Well, I'm just being courteous so that all of our listeners think that I'm being nice.
I see. So whereabouts are you right now?
I am in Aniana, which is in a portion of Alabama, about an hour's drive north of Birmingham. Very nice. I'm staying with a friend, Michael, who's a personal trainer and a professional surfer, with his family, and really enjoying the state of Alabama. We'll get more into that, dear, but let's get into our session for this month's He Said, She Said. So what's cooking?
Since I've been back in Canada, I haven't really done a lot of cooking. What I've been doing a lot of is moving and going back and forth to Ruby School, but I have started actually this week making some soups, and I just wanted to tell the listeners that really when I make my soups, I made a really nice chicken lemon lentil soup, and I also made the beef and barley soup, and I just use filtered water as a base. I don't use the OXO cubes or the chicken bouillon. I don't use cornstarch or wheat to thicken it, and I just use maybe Spike or Mrs. Dash. The Mrs. Dash original is got a little kick to it, so if you've got kids and they don't like that cayenne pepper taste, maybe you can use some other herbs or spices, but just use a filtered water, and it's a really clean burning soup. I did make hummus, but I made it the Corey Hawley style rather than the Ruby Hawley style. And Ruby's mouth was burning out because of all the garlic that I put into it. And so I just added a little bit of extra olive oil and some lemon, and it was perfect. But one of the things that I did want to talk about was the date squares, because I made date squares for Michael, our son, who's 24 years old yesterday. And my recipe for date squares has always used the sucralose in the crumble. But I've started to use the honey in the crumble. I mix the liquid honey in with the butter and the oats and the cinnamon and the spelt flour. And it comes out not as crumbly and much heavier a texture, but I prefer the Splenda over the honey. Although Ruby and everybody else just absolutely loves the honey, it's no big deal to them. But I like the crumblier texture with the date square with the Splenda in it. So if you are making the date square recipe, if you use the Splenda, it's going to be a little more crumblier texture for the top and the bottom layers. And if you use the unpasteurized liquid honey, then you're going to get a more solid, heavy texture. So I'm sure you would have liked them either way, Corey.
Right. Well, Michael has your book, The Athlete's Cookbook, and he's cooking up a storm from that, just proving to me how practical, how real it is, and how simple it is, because by his own admission, he'll tell you that he's not the best cook in the world. But if a guy can put together some of these recipes, that means it's a very practical approach to cooking. One comment on the garlic. I think with all of this media frenzy on the swine flu, which is blown way out of proportion. I remember flying into Toronto to do the Discovery Channel TV show right in the middle of it, of SARS. And I was fearless. I thought it was a bunch of baloney, which it was. And ultimately, like with the swine flu, it keeps people in a state of fear. It's ridiculous. It's insane. It's stupid to respond with the magnitude of fear that people are. But in relation to the garlic, if you want to protect yourself from influenza, wash your hands more than once a day. Wash them well. Go to YouTube, and Tracy and I, we actually show you how to wash your hands. Get your kids to watch this video and do it yourself. You know, I think I'm the only guy in town that actually gets my clients when we go to the gym to actually wash their hands before they start working out and then after. But with the garlic, it's an antimicrobial, an antibacterial, an antiviral. The reason I love the raw garlic, not only for my blood and my lipid profile, my immune system, but it wards off flus, colds, and infections. That's why it's called Russian penicillin. So people that are not into whole food, people that are not into vitamins, people that are not into training are incorporating the media-related fears, and they're the ones that respond by necessity and fear mainly to be immunized and to follow the guidelines that are advocated instead of relying on nature and themselves and their own wit to outsmart the virus or the bacteria. What do you think, Trace?
Oh, absolutely. And garlic, I just love it. But, you know, I really did put a lot of garlic into it and got that. It was burning our mouth out. But I said to Ruby, I said, listen, nothing could live inside us. Any parasite, any little piece of bacteria, anything at all. That we are not a hospitable host with the garlic, right? That's exactly
That's
what
right.
it is.
And the medical people will deny that garlic has any effect whatsoever, of course, but they don't understand that garlic is no longer garlic when it's consumed. It's reduced to molecules that interact as messengers, that speak to our cells, that integrate in multidimensional ways throughout the entire system, that make us who and what we are, which is not absolutely or clearly understood. So when you pack the body full of natural whole food, the great thing about the soups is that you retain the minerals, and minerals are very, very important. And I think that we have to understand that our weakness, our viability, our susceptibility to infection is based on the house that we have built. Are we building our house out of hay, wood, and stubble? Are we leaning on refined food, depending on medications, and then responding to the fear generated with intention? It's done with intention. It's purposeful. And that leads to sales. That leads to a dependence on the medical machine. Or are we leaning on our own mind, on our own knowledge, on our own intelligence, grabbing the bull by the horns, and really doing what's required to stay well, as in training on a regular basis and not missing workouts, eating whole natural food, embracing the science, and then packing into the body the supplements, the antioxidants, the antivirals, the antibacterials that are in the concentrations of the herbs, the botanicals, and the homeopathics. So there you go.
Sounds good. Sounds like poetry to my ears. But absolutely, it's how strong are you? I just cannot believe that everybody I talk to, and on the radio here, it's all about the swine flu, the swine flu. And like you said, what did it end up? We were talking about that last night at Michael's birthday, the swine flu, because our daughter-in-law just flew back from Mexico, and she says, oh, they're just really having a tough time with it. But I just said, I hope you washed your hands all the time, because that's what the SARS was all about, washing your hands. Like every day when you go to the gym, before you do your cardio, you know, make sure that you wash your hands, because I know I used to get pimples when, or a little rash when I would train with the weights. My hands were on all the weights and all the different pieces of equipment. Then I'd go and I'd run on the treadmill, and then I'd wipe my sweat off. And yeah, my hands were dirty because, you know, you've got 50,000 other people touching the weights. When I take public transportation, my hands are on the seat, my hands are on the poles, my hands are going down the staircase using that. So it's really important that you wash your hands 20 times a day, just all the time. After you shake a lot of people's hands, you know, when you take a look at where people put their hands, I mean, they've got their hands up their nose, they got them in their eyes, and a lot of people do not wash their hands after they go to the bathroom. You've witnessed this too, Corey, as I have. So, and then they're touching you and touching your hands. So just, you have to be accountable for yourself. You've got to get your hands washed. It's pretty bloody simple, isn't it, Corey?
Yeah, well, the swine flu or influenza, it's called the hog flu or the pig flu, and actually in nature, pigs and wild boars would be cleaner than a lot of humans living in a technical environment that are exposing themselves to an environment that is not hygienic. Hygiene is the science of health. It is the big H in the word health. And it comes down to really understanding that science. If you keep yourself clean inside and the outside environment clean, your risk of infection is greatly, greatly reduced. But, you know, people are so ignorant now that they won't eat pig or pork, and maybe there's reasons not to for other non-related reasons, but you can't contract this swine flu by eating the flesh of a pig because it's not transmitted that way. And what I would encourage everyone to do is just go to Google and punch in swine flu and have a look and try and understand what this is. You know, it's a mutating virus. There's hardly anyone that's actually been identified with it in relation to the population. I think maybe there's a couple of cases that have been verified in the United States out of 300 million. And I think I remember reading somewhere that 50,000 people each year in the United States die from the so-called regular flu. And most of those people are old and weak and highly susceptible to disease and various pathologies. So it's in the weakened state that we become more susceptible. And unfortunately, we do have a society that is in generally a highly weakened state because of how they eat, how they think, and how they live.
Right. I agree. You're absolutely right. So you've got to take care of yourself and you have to be accountable because nobody is going to do it for you until you're 5 or 6 years old, right? Then you've got your parents to look after you. But after that, man, you make the choices. Like when I know when Ruby, I monitored absolutely everything that went into her mouth and was the biggest freak you'd ever imagine until she started going to grade one. Kindergarten, you can still have a control over them. But in grade one, they're switching lunches and then they go to school and they have all these different programs and they're giving them cookies and all different kinds of stuff at sports day and you lose control. So it's that kid's responsibility whether to have that food or not. You can't monitor all the time. So anyways, that's our what's cooking.
So let's move on to the next topic. Who was our last month's special guest?
Our last month's special guest was Mr. Felix Chavez. Now, Felix lives in California, and when I was in California in the 1980s, Felix was my dance partner. And I was in my 20s, and he was in his 50s, but I'll tell you, he sure could run circles around me. We used to dance and train at Hollywood Dance Center, so yes, I was in Hollywood. And we did a lot of shows. We did shows in Palm Springs, in San Diego, in L.A., and we really had a nice time. It was wonderful. We were going to be him and I were going to dance on cruise ships together as the team for the entertainment on cruise ships. However, the contract never went through. But nonetheless, I met Felix. He turned me on to shopping into health food stores. So he was way before I met you, Corey. He taught me how to shop in a health food store. He was really into supplements. He was always into health food and eating right. He didn't drink. He didn't do drugs, no prescription drugs. So he's always looked after himself, and he's always danced his whole life. So I can say that dancing is anti-aging.
There's no doubt about it. I particularly enjoyed Felix and his spiritual insight, his emotional poise, and he reminds me of somebody who is working in an orbital-like motion of living. In other words, what he's doing, he is revolving everything around himself, and he's moving forward, he's gaining wisdom and insight into living. His purpose, he's purpose-driven. He loves doing what he's doing. He loves working with people. He loves sharing his knowledge. And, of course, he's moving, and that's the key. So many older people don't move. They sit around like slugs. And that is, I'd say, a large part of what creates their dis-ease combined with the poor nutrition. And, of course, you and I both know that when you're not training, your diet tends to slide. And if you get back into the gym, back into motion and movement, it has an anorexic effect. You're not eating when you're training and moving, but when you're sitting around doing nothing, what are you thinking about? Well, food, and usually it's the wrong kind. So it's great to have Felix contribute and give his insight to SNU as a person who loves what he does and happens to be dancing. And dancing is an art and a science, and for those of you who don't understand that, just try and take it up and try and memorize those steps, and you'll see how difficult and how challenging it can be, but also how very much fun it can be. Right, Trace?
Well, for sure. It is very demanding. Depends on what level you get at. I was at a very high level in dancing. But even if you are dancing on just a very basic level where you just want to have a little bit of fun, it still is very, very challenging because you have to learn how to dance to the beat and you have to learn how to lead or follow. You have to learn to move around the line of dance and you have to memorize steps. So there's a lot of mental stimulation that goes on and you're working with another person right in front of you, whether it's lead or follow. So there's a lot of benevolence, friendly benevolence that goes on with this because you're socializing, you're working with people. It can be very, very challenging. I happen to absolutely love it and I'm missing that in my life right now. But other things are coming up. But I do like to go out dancing. I think I might have to go to a nightclub and go out dancing and get down and get back up again.
Good.
But thank you, Felix. We really appreciate your insights.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, moving on to the next topic, our highway to health tour update. What's cooking?
Okay, well, I'll start. Ever since I've been here, you think I've been a lazy dog, but I have been working here. I have been moving, and Ruby isn't a heck of a lot of help when it comes to moving. And why am I always up here to help the girls move? I don't know what that is. Anyway,
because females are high maintenance and require a lot of time and attention.
Why don't you hightail your hiney up here and help the girls move? But I always have to. They're working. They're going to school, so I end up doing all the work. You have to organize things. You have to pack them up, and then you clean. You got to clean. I always clean before I leave the place, and you move into a new place. I always clean that. So I always had a little bit of housemaid's knee, which means you get down on the floor. I don't like using those. I do use those scrubbers, but I like to get down and get my hands in there and get in the corners. And, you know, that's just the way that I am. So my nails took a beating, my knees took a beating, my toenails were chipped. But anyway, this week, I'm on track again. But that's what I've been doing. I've been moving, and then we had to find a new place to live. So I had to take a look at that and get that organized. And just going to school and doing school projects and just, you know, being a mom. That's what I've been doing. Oh, and I did, which was really cool. One of our students realized that I was in town and asked me to do a lecture for them, a one-hour lecture for the BC Summer Swimming Association. And there was about 50 coaches. They were coaches between 16 and 25 years old. And these coaches coached little kids, maybe 5 to 10 years old in the summertime, for swimming. So they wanted nutrition for swimmers. So I think, because the beauty of this is what I'm really loving, is the fact that I work with CHI. I'm not working for any other company any longer, so I don't have to watch what I say. So I can say whatever I want. Well, within reason, but I can let loose. And I think I rattled a few cages, honey. Tell them like it was. There was these like 14, 15, 16-year-old kids telling me that why do you need supplements? They think that you don't need supplements because you get everything from your food. Well, that rattled my cage, so I had to blast them one on that. But just some little things. They used to think that after the kids do their workout that they could give them chocolate milk or Gatorade. I shouldn't mention names and stuff like that. But I gave them some better alternatives to what they could have. And surprising how some of these kids are out of school, college, university, and they're very conventional when it comes to their diet and when it comes to the supplements. So I really got down and dirty with them too and told them like it is. And hopefully out of those 50 people, Corey, I hope that one got something out of what I said.
Well, the truth penetrates those who have the potential to receive it. Everybody else doesn't recognize it and finds it very distasteful, which is fine. That's something that we can't control. But we do what we do, and we represent the truth when it comes to nutrition science and the actual art and living that's associated with doing it right. Now, whether or not people want to accept that, that's their concern, that's their misgiving, that's their problem if they don't see the light. And they will suffer. Remember that health is its own reward. If you don't apply the information, then you will suffer because you cannot run away from the benefits of health or the downside of not applying the principles that are essential to every living thing. So we can wrap ourselves around anything except what's supposed to be done, and eventually we will suffer for it, and then find reason in our own mind to blame it on something else, which is fine. But like I said, if you apply the information, you receive the value on a personal level, and that is the greatest reward associated with obeying the law.
What I would say, I always said, well, pursue health and performance will follow. That was my big thing. And what's really interesting is you've done a lot of lectures for fitness and athletes. And what their big thing is about the day of the competition. What do I eat the day before and that day? Well, you know, more than anything, and this is what I told the coaches, I said, it's what you're doing 3 months ahead. It's what you're doing in your lifestyle that's going to make you who you are on that day. Right? They're all concerned just about the day before and the day of the competition.
Well, that's pretty much like how people live their lives. They're pretty much just focused on the day today and maybe tomorrow instead of thinking long term about where they are going and how they're going to look and feel like 20, 30, 40, 50, and 60 years down the road. See, the whole thing about preventive medicine is thinking ahead and conceptualizing a possible outcome or future which does not exist. And this is what humans have as a gift. We are able to actually broadcast in our mind a picture of a possible outcome which does not exist yet and act and live in a certain way that yields that. And no other animal on the planet can do that. No other animal actually thinks ahead. They live moment to moment and are driven purely by instinct. And that, in fact, unfortunately, is how a lot of humans live, moment to moment, driven by instinct, instead of using the power of their enormous brain. So somebody said it would be like spending a penny if you had access to billions. That's the analogy, where people are not using the full capacity of the power that they have to plan their future, to live, yes, for today, to live in the now, but also to use the resources from the past and the potential of the future so that you can act with power and really find yourself in the moment and live a better life.
Well, what you do today will affect your tomorrow. Anyway, another thing is I took a whole month off of training in the gym, that is, weight training. But I must tell you that I walked every day 5 to 8 miles and I ran. But the thing for me is it's just not enough. I get too skinny. But the big old Sicilian booty will always be there. But I get really super lean, like too lean, and I don't like that look. I like to have a little bit more muscular look on me. So I joined the Cameron Rec Center, which is a block away, and I started yesterday with some squats, so I'm feeling good. So I just bought a month's membership pass, because I do have passes to other places as well, but they're a little too far. And I got to get my workout in the morning or I just won't do it. I'll always find an excuse. And if I wait for the end of the day, I've eaten like 3 or 4 times. And I like to train when I'm clean, you know, just had a shake and I've just had like juice and a coffee and water. After I've had actual heavier foods, I just don't seem to be able to train as well. So that's pretty much what I've been doing. I have done no socializing, actually. The only time was last night at Michael's birthday. But now I'm ready to socialize because I got the school out of the way. I got the moving out of the way. So I'm ready to go. And that's my story. That's what I've been doing. And yeah. How about you? What you been up to?
Well, I love Alabama. It reminds me a lot of British Columbia. It's very green. It's very wet. And I'm in the middle of tornado season here. So the sirens are going off almost on a nightly basis. I have experienced some pretty wild storms, some huge winds, and these tornadoes, they just appear out of nowhere. They destroy everything in their path, and then they disappear again, and without warning. It's really bizarre. But, yeah, it reminds me a lot of British Columbia, except a lot warmer. I'm down here working on my product line with Clayton Natural and writing some stuff with Clayton College, working on the development of some new courses. But anyway, I also had the chance to go over to Atlanta, which is about 2 or 3 hours from here, and I saw the Talladega Raceway, where the movie Talladega Nights was made from, and it was unbelievable. It's a huge facility. thousands and thousands. They say there's over 10,000 RVs that plug in over there to go to these races, so very popular. I got to Atlanta, and I met with my supplier and really enjoyed Atlanta. It's a very busy, high-paced, fast energy city, 5 million, I think, or plus. And I really enjoyed visiting my friend. He was just outside of the city limits. Roswell, the same as in New Mexico, the same name. So I went to Roswell in Georgia and had a great time, and just to verify my suppliers and to check out some raw materials and to look at some new formulation ideas. So that was great. Really enjoy the environment here. You know, kind of Birmingham is kind of in the middle, because I am planning on coming up to BC to spend the summer to attend a Colgan camp, to meet with Matt, who him and I are going to be training together in the mentorship program. And I'm going to go up north and head west. I'm going to go through Memphis and Kansas City and St. Louis, and then over to Denver, then up to Calgary. That's another main reason why I'm coming back, is to see my grandma. She's turning 90, and her 90th birthday is June the 20th, I believe. So I'll be there for that. I'll probably do some seminars along the way, then meet with you, see Ruby go through her graduation process, spend some time with the family. You and I have got some neat things planned. Spend the summer, of course. It's beautiful to spend the summer in British Columbia. And then looking forward to getting back on track, getting back on trail, and completing our tour, because we've been to, well, I don't know, about 14 or 15 states, and all of them are awesome. All of them are just a thrill to see, and the adventure continues. So that's my story up to date.
I just think that those tornado things freak me out, because I'll be talking to you and I hear, like on the Skype, and I hear these sirens go off. I mean, did you see any damage at all that those tornadoes did?
No, but here in Aniana, there was one that passed about a half a mile by where we were, and it wiped out a couple of homes. And if you happen to be in the path of one, they're rated from 1 to 5 like hurricanes, but the really strong ones have winds inside of them that are over 200 miles per hour. So they can just grab a car and whip it around and throw it like 5 miles away.
Oh, my gosh.
It's unbelievable. So there's nothing left. It's total destruction. But the bizarre thing is they just appear out of nowhere without warning.
There's no warning at all?
Well, there's storm and winds going on. But, you know, like there's no actual, oh, here comes the tornado. Then they'll appear out of nowhere, and then they'll just follow a path. But there's no way to determine the path. It'll go one way, then change direction, and then change direction again, and then poof, it's gone.
So it doesn't stay in a straight line or anything like that. It kind of can zigzag, and that's scary.
Yeah, and I learned that Birmingham is positioned geographically away from these tornadoes tend to divide. It's kind of in a basin surrounded by the Appalachians and some mountains. And I've learned a little bit of history. Birmingham used to be called Bombingham. They had a lot of civil rights problems in the 50s and 60s. And it's really interesting. I'm planning on going to the Martin Luther King Museum and to learn more about what actually went on here. But my perception here is that there isn't any racial problem going on. I see blacks mixing with whites. I find that the blacks, they're courteous, they're beautiful people. I love talking to them about their history and about America. You know, of course, I've read the Constitution, I've read the Declaration of Independence, and Americans sure love talking about America. That's one thing we've learned, right, Trace?
That's for sure. You seem to be doing an awful lot of socializing when I'm not around. You know, you're meeting all these people and going for dinners and hooting and hawing, and when I'm there, it doesn't seem to be quite as active. What's going on?
Well, you know what they say, when the cat's away,
the mice will play, absolutely.
There you go.
But it's a different energy, too. It's a different energy when you're there by yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, people tend to feel sorry for poor Corey. No. But I'm glad that you're...
Don't feel sorry for me. It's a great exercise being alone, and this is the first time we've been apart for so long.
I know.
But, you know, you find things to do. This is, again, why do we do what we do? What are you doing in your life? You have to find reason to live for yourself. If somebody leaves or departs or dies, what have you got going in your life for yourself? So it's good to have something going on that you're in control of. You find a creative release, that it's a function of your own design. This is essential. This is critical. So, you know, I just love this tour. I see the world before me. I just want to keep promoting, plugging, creating, designing, meeting people, doing seminars, creating product. It just never ends, and it will never end. And you and I have some wonderful, wonderful future in front of us, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of CHI. And really, CHI is the energy that flows. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I just can't believe I come back up here, and it's almost like, what happened? I've been gone a year and a half, and I come back, poof, I'm back in Vancouver again. And I have all this knowledge and all this experience that I've had in a year and a half. And you come back here and it's like it never happened. It's just a memory. It's the weirdest thing. And the time, I cannot believe that 1 month has passed since we did SNU last time. The time is flying so quickly. It's already May. It just blows me away. So, you know, the time is now. Do it now. Anyway, that's a great update, dear.
Right on. So let's get through this because we're way over time. What you reading, hon?
Oh, very interesting. I am reading The Shore of Women by author Pamela Sargent, and this book was written in 1988. This is a book that my sister-in-law Lisa has been talking about that she has wanted me to read for 10 years. Finally, she scrounged it out of the attic, and I have it in my hot little hands, and I am loving it. I haven't quite finished it yet. It's a 450-page book, and I've only got 100 more pages to go. But what The Shore of Women is about, it's a catastrophic nuclear war destroyed civilization, and the women have rebuilt a new world on the ruins of the old. They live secluded in a vast walled city, controlling all science and technology, determined to keep men ever regaining the power to destroy the earth. Here, love between the sexes is strictly forbidden. Procreation is an impersonal, biological duty, and men roam the wilderness in nomadic bands, worshiping the psychokinetic images of females as goddesses. So it's a science fiction fantasy, something I have never read before. So it's really cool for me to be reading this because it's opened my eyes, but I'm loving this book. I really am loving this book about
There's
women.
There's some great lines in there. I'm going to use it. I'm going to go to a tavern here locally and say, hey, procreation is an impersonal biological duty. So let's do it, baby.
All right. So that's what I'm reading, and I'm really, really enjoying it. You know, I hadn't really read anything, but now that we've done the move, I'm relaxing a little bit more, and I'm just really enjoying this book. And every book I've ever had on the year and a half that I've been getting into reading has been given to me. And I really appreciate that. So that's what I'm reading, The Shore of Women by Pamela Sargent.
Well, I love it. It sounds awesome. It's something that I would be interested in because I love that kind of science fiction with the post-apocalyptic catastrophes and that kind of stuff. And that kind of turns my crank, dear. But that's great. Okay, so that was a great he said, she said. What is your final word?
My final word is, I've learned that either you control your attitude or your attitude controls you.